A huge thank you to today's sponsor, Bubba Bump. Bubba Bump is the ultimate pregnancy and postpartum brand that has all your needs and wants to support your journey into motherhood. From diaper bags, carriers, swaddles, birth announcement accessories, plus the all-you-need labor prep and postpartum recovery boxes, Bubba Bump is your one-stop shop. As mamas ourselves, we know the importance of taking care of you and your body. You can now shop on Bubba Bump online and use our discount code GROWANDGLOW at checkout to get 15% off your order. The direct link is in our show notes below.
This podcast is brought to you by Meteorate.
We begin today by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land on which we gather today and pay our respects to their elders past and present. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples here today. It's like the little things. It's like the little ass grab in the kitchen.
Yes.
It's the little like pull you over and give you a kiss. The kids always like, ew.
Do they really?
Yeah.
It's very unlikely you're both going to feel like at the same time. So when you schedule it in,
yeah.
You know you get that time together. You're both preparing for it. You're both getting excited for it. You can chat about it. Like,
I'll have sex with him in the morning and he's like, so tonight.
Welcome to the Grow and Glow podcast. I'm Ashy.
I'm Kiara.
We are mums, entrepreneurs, speakers, authors, and driven to make a difference.
We challenged our past beliefs, overcame our doubts, and you can too.
Let's go deep, let the emotions flow.
Find the lessons to grow and glow. Hello guys, welcome back to another episode. We're so excited for today's episode.
Yeah, it's a big juicy one.
It is, and it's something I feel like you don't hear about a lot. I feel like we haven't really opened up about it a lot.
Not on social media, no.
No, so today's episode is all about relationships. So we're going to delve in deep about relationships. We're going to talk all things sex, triggers,
intimacy,
breakups, highs and lows, and kind of everything. So everything
like
you can think of.
Intimate relationships with our partners.
Yes.
One day we should get the boys on the podcast too. That'd be cool.
I don't know if I trust Kurt on here.
Yeah.
He's too unfiltered.
We'll be editing that.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. And it's so funny, if you don't know their personalities, people can take such offense to like how someone is.
But Kurt's
like,
humor.
Oh. Yeah.
What did he say the other day? We're on a YouTube video and I was like, if you don't know Kurt's sense of humor and you like, and yeah, what did he say? He said, oh, can we just leave Regan in the car? I'll turn the aircon on. And I was like, everyone's going to think you're actually serious, but that's just his humor.
Yeah,
like,
he just jokes about everything.
He jokes about everything.
So funny.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love this. Okay, well, before we get into the episode, let's talk about our share of the week. I can go first.
Yeah, you go.
So I've seen every mum talk about this lady on YouTube being like an online babysitter, and her name is Miss Rachel. And I was like, oh, I'll check it out. Steve was away for like, I think it was four nights, went down to the Australian Open. So both kids by myself, and just from 6 till 6.30 sometimes, I'm just like, I'm so tapped out. And Tyler goes to bed at 6.30. Taj is just like hypo. So put Taj on his iPad, I put Miss Rachel on the TV. She was sitting on me. I was giving her a bottle. She's the best.
She's so good.
Oh my gosh. I mean, she's really annoying, as in like, hi, let's say mama, mama. Let's sing mama, mama. Oh, like she drives me crazy, but Tala loves her. And then I was telling Nat about it. And she's like, oh no, not Miss Rachel. Try Miss Moni.
Oh.
She's the Australian version. So Miss Moni's pretty cool as well. So
I haven't tried that one.
Yeah. So if you're I just feel like if you're a busy mum or your partner's away or you're a single mum and you just need to tap out for half an hour, I do think screen time, like sometimes it's just necessary.
Yeah.
I've got lipstick on my teeth, right?
No, I think I do. Oh. I felt it. I was like, I think I got lipstick on my teeth.
No, I thought I did. No, I'm good. Yeah, sometimes I just feel like screen time is just, you just need it.
Yeah.
And yeah, Miss Rachel and Miss Moni are great because they're quite educational.
Yeah.
And they're very engaging and they're the kind of stuff that you do with your baby anyway. It's
it
not
really
just some,
is.
Like, trashy TV. Like it's actually
trying to teach them how to talk
yeah.
and sing different songs.
Different nursery rhymes yeah. and count. And it's really cute. So if you're a mama and you just need half an hour to yourself to get the dishes done and cook dinner.
Yeah.
Put Miss Rachel on.
Yeah, so good.
Thank me later.
Well, mine is a book today.
Ooh.
A Colleen Hoover book.
Of course.
So this one, I went into it and I was like, I don't really know what to expect from it. It's called Ugly Love. It is quite heavy. I feel like a lot of her books are quite heavy.
Oh,
so
I think I remember you telling me about this one.
Oh, babe.
With
you
the
gotta
kids?
Read it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you've gotta read it. It's just like such a good read. You know what? It took me a while to get stuck into it. And then the ending for me, I was like, oh my, like the ending was just so good. And I loved
wow.
it. And I feel like it's a good read for everyone to kind of read to show different perspectives. And
But like I said, it could be a bit triggering to some. So I feel like a lot of her books can be triggering. So maybe just have a little bit of a read about what each book's about on the back. Because even first.
A lot of people said that with It Ends With Us and It Starts With Us. Yes. I nearly finished It Starts With Us because I've done the other one.
Yeah.
And I can see how a lot of people would find like the abuse in that quite triggering. But for me and you, it was like almost a little bit relatable.
Yeah.
Like we're like, oh yeah, I've heard about that. Or I know someone that's gone through that. Or like me with my stepdad, like
yeah.
a lot of that, I was like, oh, that's not new to me. But someone who's never heard of that or experienced that, it's like, whoa,
yeah,
that's
my heavy. Girlfriend down the road, I lent it to her and she was like, oh, I was bawling reading that book. And I was like, really? She's like, did you not cry? I was like,
yeah, I didn't cry once.
I was like, I did. I was like, am I a bitch? But then, you know, I think it's just what you're used to or yeah. what, you know.
Yeah, what you've experienced or heard about or like what someone goes through or whatever. Yeah. Oh, cool. I actually bought a couple more Colleen Hoover books. I'm going to ask you which ones to read next.
Well, Reminders of Him is also like so amazing. Good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into the episode.
Let's get into it. What do we start with, hey?
Well, I think we start with, let's go over our lows and our highs throughout our relationships because I say relationships, but we've both been with our partner for, I mean, me and Steve are 15 years this year. How long are you guys?
Same.
15? Yeah. Wow.
We might even be 16 this year.
I thought you guys were a little bit ahead of us. Yeah. Maybe you're 16.
I can't keep tabs anymore.
It's so hard. Hey, even Valentine's next week, he's like, babe, because we take turns in what year who organises what. Cute. He's like, yeah, your turn this year. What are you organising? I was like, babe, I don't have a babysitter.
Yeah.
He's like, oh. True.
Aww, like we have backyard one backyard picnic.
Yeah, we have one person that we normally like to get out of the house, like away from the kids and just be us again.
Yeah.
But my mum doesn't live here anymore and we've got one babysitter that we use, but she's got a partner now. So I was like, sauce babe, not happening this year.
Yeah.
Although I have bought some nice lingerie and some like cool little fun sex toys from
nice.
The sex store.
Nice. Love that.
Honey Burdette.
Yeah.
I went nuts in there. There's so many cool little like sex games and fun little things.
Love to,
like,
Honey has them too.
Oh, so good. Yeah. So fun.
So fun.
So I'll still make the night amazing, but I just won't be in like a hotel or something.
Yeah. And you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yes. 100%. Yeah. Parent
make
life.
The most out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
So do you reckon we go back a little bit and like explain our relationship?
Yeah, where was that going?
Yeah. Got caught up on the sex toys.
Oh my gosh, yes. So maybe we start off with, I mean, I think triggers is a really, really cool conversation to have around relationships because no matter who you're with, you're going to get triggered about something.
Yeah.
And there's obviously a lot to unpack as to where those triggers have come from. So maybe I'll start off with my biggest trigger, where it came from and how it's affected Steve and I and the hardship we've had to go through to work through it.
Okay.
So my biggest trigger is alcohol. Mm-hmm. It's no news to anyone that I'm not a drinker. I don't like alcohol. I really don't see any positives in it. I've only ever had traumatic events and not nice times with alcohol. I find it very disconnecting. I find it very bad for the health. I don't feel good on it. I don't like being around people that are really, really intoxicated. I don't mind when people have like a drink or two. When people get drunk, I'm like, oh, it's just not my vibe and energy I like to be around. But growing up, my stepfather was a massive alcoholic and he was very, very abusive. My mum was also quite a heavy drinker. I think just to like numb out and just try and survive and get through each night, use it to relax or whatever. But my stepdad was super abusive. Like I just remember him throwing things and hitting us and just yelling all the time. And it just was not a good time. Yeah. It was like that sober, but then drinking was like a whole new level.
Yeah.
And then like a lot of my high school girlfriends were very, very big drinkers and I was always one looking after them and like holding their hair back. And I know that like people think that's normal and that's like what happens when you're younger, but I don't know. I just found that really hard to watch my friends just get so wasted.
Yeah.
And I just felt like they had so no love for themselves and for their bodies. Mm. It just wasn't something I went down. So when I met Steve, I definitely like went out and drank and stuff and got drunk, whatever. I'm not saying I've never drank, like plenty of times I've been drunk or whatever. But with him for the first couple of years, it was kind of fun. Like we were young, went out clubbing, had our fun, blah, blah, blah. Went to festivals all the time. It was cool. But then as I got a bit older and got a bit more connected to myself and then just saw how we were both showing up when we were not only drinking but hungover and like the weeks following, it wasn't just that day. You're in a lower state for the week. Like we weren't showing up being the best versions of ourselves. Mm. And I just found like each time we were drinking, we would be fighting.
Yeah, and okay.
Over like something small, something big, and it would just like ruin the whole week.
Yeah.
And I don't think we had the tools to kind of work through it and move through it quick either. So it was always like a long dragged out thing.
Yeah.
And Steve has never had like an addiction to alcohol or whatever, but for him, it was the complete opposite. Growing up, he's only had positive experiences with alcohol. It was always fun for him.
Yeah.
There was never any trauma. There was never any fights with ex-girlfriends. It was always just like fun and how he connects with the boys. And in the Australian culture, that's very, very common. Like men connect through drinking and going to the club and like hanging out.
Yeah.
So he, when I was really like, I don't like drinking. I don't like you drinking. I don't like how we are when we're together and drinking. There was quite a bit of resistance. Mm. And then over the years, it just got more and more that I just really didn't want to be around alcohol. And I, when I'm sober and he's drinking, even if he's not even bad when he drinks, like he's not rude. He's not aggressive. He's not anything bad, quote unquote, but he's just not Steve.
And isn't it hard? Because for him, it's like this fun thing that 100%. He really enjoys, or he can let his hand down. And for you, it's this like
traumatizing.
Yeah, like, it brings you back to the worst times in your life. And for him, it's like reliving the best times in his life.
Yeah. So it's like there's so much to unpack there. And we've had so much like cool therapy on our own and separately and together. And, you know, for me, I knew that a lot of this was my own triggers.
Yeah.
But I also knew that as I've gotten older, like I really don't like being around alcohol, and that's okay.
It is.
And that's what I value. And, you know, over the last couple of years, Steve's really realized he doesn't value it either. And all the things that he values in life, energy, sleep, love and connection, me feeling safe, my nervous system, being a really good dad, having energy, looking after his body, like that's all things he values, and alcohol doesn't match that. So for the last like year and a half, he's probably drank, and I mean drank by having like two drinks, maybe like three or four times.
Yeah.
Like it's really not a part of his life anymore. And it is hard for him, I think, because like obviously boys do connect with drinking. A lot of men do, and he doesn't really go out and do that stuff anymore. But it's brought us so much more closer and so much more connected. And it's been really healing for me also to have the safe space to unpack that trigger from my childhood and from what comes up for me, because he's holding it there and he's there with me through it.
Yeah.
So
how's Steve going with that? With his friendships, because I feel like, so when Kurt was boxing, he stopped drinking for like 6 months to a year. And he said it really highlighted who his true friends were, because a lot of his friends just wanted to go out and get shit-faced, wanted somebody to be able to call and go out and get shit-faced with. Like, has Steve noticed a bit of a shift with that?
He always says like he still loves his friends and whatever, but there isn't a lot of common ground.
Yeah.
So whether they don't have kids or whether they do just like to go out and continue drinking, like there's just not a lot of common ground. And he's good. He's just like, to be honest, like even if they weren't drinking, I just want to be at home with my family on the weekend.
Oh, that's nice.
Because I'm just a homebody, like, because I'm always encouraging him, like, go out and see your friends, do something. But he's like, I actually want to be here with you guys. When he went to the Australian Open, he did love that. He's like, it was so nice to have some cold beers and hang with the boys. And it was around sport, like he loves sport.
Yeah.
He wishes he had more friends that were into like his footy or whatever.
Yeah.
But he's like, I'm actually just so content. Like, I don't feel like Kurt's missing out.
Kurt's very similar like that.
Yeah.
I'm always like, go for a surf. Go do this. He does do his things. Like, he goes for surfs. He goes to the gym. You know, like Steve has his golf.
Yes.
But he, like, when there's those quiet days and everyone's like happy and chilling out, like, he does really love being at home.
Yeah. So it's been a really nice journey for us. But there's definitely been some really hard times where I've been super triggered and Steve's been drinking more than what feels nice to me. And we've had to work through that and really talk about things and go through some hard times. But like anything, I'm just so grateful for it, because every time there's a hard time, like, you know, whether we got help professionally or we work through it together, it just makes us so much stronger.
Yeah.
And I come out feeling so much more connected and heard and safe and just like more in love with him.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
That's so nice.
So, but yeah, that was definitely my biggest trigger. And it's, I think because I didn't heal it with my stepdad, that's why it showed up in this relationship too. It's like that, you know, life keeps teaching you the same lessons until you heal it.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, isn't it funny? One of my, like, well, my biggest trigger is also the same sort of thing. Like, it all stems from something. Hey.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Like an experience. Hey.
Totally.
But if you don't heal it, it's just going to keep showing up in different ways. And say, like, say if I was to break up with Steve because, like, you know, we were fighting and he was drinking, whatever. If I didn't heal that, the next person, same shit's going to come up in a different way. You know what I mean? Like, it's your responsibility to heal that.
Yeah.
And you can still communicate what you want and what you don't want. Like, I wouldn't be with someone now if they were a heavy drinker. If that was Steve or someone else, and I've said that to him as well, like if you ever wanted to go back into being a heavy drinker, I don't judge you for it. Like, go live your life, but it's just not how I want to live. So we're not aligned anymore. But, you know, having those conversations.
Holding your boundaries. You can still have some drinks. You can still go do your thing, but I just don't want someone.
But it made
like,
him go,
yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay, what do I actually value? Is this even aligned with me? And he's like, fuck, I actually don't want to do it anymore. But for years, it was great experience and fun and whatever. So it's been a really cool journey. But the last couple of years, and especially since being pregnant, I suppose, so the last 2 years, being pregnant, him really stepping up as a dad and a partner and taking care of us, it's been so nice. And then Tala, we just love our little family bubble.
Oh my gosh, seeing him the other day with Tala, like he just adores her.
He adores her.
Taj wasn't there, but I just saw her with Tala and I was like, that is so cute.
He loves his kids so damn much. He's such a good dad, such a good husband.
Yeah.
So that's probably my biggest trigger and lowest times have come from alcohol.
Yeah, so my biggest trigger would be trust.
Oh, okay.
So growing up, I feel like probably my trust was broken a lot. I feel like there's a lot of empty promises and things that kind of, you know. So, yeah, definitely our biggest fight. So, say, for example, if we went out one night and I said to Kurt, like, oh, babe, how many beers have you had when I came home? And he told me he had two, but he'd actually had six.
I saw a meme the other day. When a man says three beers, it's like actually six. It's like double.
That's one tiny little perspective. And that's and this still to this day, trust is such a huge value for me.
So important.
So huge. And at the start, that's what Kurt says to me now. He's like, I wish all those years ago I just knew all I had to do was tell the truth. He goes, I was worried. I was scared that you were going. He's like, now I can tell you anything. And he knows he won't get in trouble.
Yes.
I might not agree with it, but it's not going to be.
Even if you're upset for that moment.
Totally.
It's like, let me be grumpy for that day and then move on. But if you lie to me, it's like, then it's, the trust is broken, you know?
The trust is so massive. Yeah. So yeah, back in the day, it was kind of like that, like him just lying to me about like nights out with the boys and stuff like that, which we were so young. We've been together since we were so young. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I feel like our lowest points have been around trust. I feel like that is such a huge trigger for me. And also codependency.
Yeah, that's a big one you brought up. Hey.
Really big one. So whenever one of us in the relationship, I feel like when we were younger, we went through a phase where I was very codependent on him. Have I got lipstick on my teeth?
No. I'm always paranoid about lipstick on my teeth.
So yeah, I was very codependent on him.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's when the trust was being broken because I was nearly like coming across needy.
Yeah.
This was years ago.
And controlling almost.
Yeah. And then what happened was complete 180. I feel like not even that long ago, probably like 5 years ago, Kurt kind of became really needy on me. Like maybe when I don't know why. I think once I became a mum, I just got really like independent and I felt so much, I don't know. I just felt so much more confident, so much more sure of myself. And I think he was just kind of like, oh my gosh. So he kind of, it twisted and he became the one who was more, before that we were fine. Like we worked through it. But then, and I feel like when somebody is more codependent on the other, I feel like it's just a really yucky space to be in.
I really
don't like it. I don't like when I've ever felt needy to Kurt, and I hate when he feels, hate's a strong word, but I shouldn't say hate, but I really dislike when he is needy to me as well.
Oh, it's, I so
I
get
really
it.
I really don't like that feeling at all. I feel nice like, again, feeling. It's not having trust. It's going back to that same thing though, probably when I think about it, you know?
Or not just in not having your own back and confidence, independence is like really attractive.
Yes. Yeah. It is sexy.
It is sexy.
Masculine, so independent.
Yeah. So when it flips, you're like, ugh.
I know. Yeah. So I feel like that's something we've really had to work on. I feel like, you know, depending on what situation you're in, even just like with your masculine and feminine energy.
Yeah, isn't that so important? But something that I feel like only in the last couple of years people are really talking about it. I know it's been a huge thing that I've loved learning about. And learning about myself, learning about Steve and how the polarity when it comes together.
Very controversial topic though, have you noticed?
A little bit, yeah. People get very offended. But I never like, I'm never putting down the feminine or the masculine.
No.
Both of us carry both energies and it's really important to honor both. But at your core, you are more than one the other. So when you're leaning more to the opposite, you don't feel as good. Like I'm feminine at my core.
Yeah.
But I feel like parenting and running a business and dealing with finances, having deadlines, like that is very masculine, get shit done kind of energy. And I love that about myself. Wouldn't be doing what I am without it. I honor that. But that beautiful, feminine, flowy, soft, like I love that. And Steve loves that. And it does bring that polarity together and it kind of lights you up and brings that spark back in.
And it takes both people.
Oh, yeah.
If one starts to become more feminine, then the other one becomes more masculine. One starts, what we find. So like it's so such a balancing act because if one's starting to act more one way, it just makes it worse. It highlights it.
Yeah. I so agree with that. It's so cool to learn about it though, isn't it?
So interesting.
Yeah. Love that.
Thank you, Lust Minerals, for sponsoring today's episode. Lust is an Australian-made and owned beauty brand that is cruelty-free and vegan. Lust uses no harsh chemicals or toxins, which can cause severe skin and health issues. Superior quality and designed to conceal, correct, and cover while healing your skin underneath.
Get $20 off your order when you spend over $50 with code GROWANDGLOW and access the link in the show notes below. Thank you again, Lust Minerals, for sponsoring today's podcast.
Another low for me was the first year of having Taj. So this is going back 7 years ago. But that was a very challenging year.
Yeah.
for so many reasons. We were going through a lot with work. We had like a team of over 20 that all were very like, even working in our house.
Yeah.
We're so busy. We're going through some financial stuff. Things are going really well, but then there were other things going on in the background that we were struggling with. Mm. I had never really been around babies and neither had Steve. I want to say I wasn't very maternal. I am now, obviously, but I had never even changed nappies. Neither had Steve. We were quite disconnected, just caught up in work and chaos and stress, and our nervous systems would have been so like high in fight or flight. We just weren't in a good place. So to bring a baby into the mix, and he had a lip and tongue tie and like navigating that, and I found the first 6 months really, really challenging, and so did he. Like, I look back, I'm like, how did we survive that? That was really, really rough. I think that's why we've enjoyed Tala so much, because we have learned so much from what we did wrong, and a lot of it was, one, nervous system regulation, but two, communication. The expectations we both had on each other and the lack of support we both gave each other, but we have compassion for each other because I feel like we were both so depleted. We didn't have anything to give each other.
Yeah.
Our cups were so empty and so exhausted.
You're doing the best you could.
Barely looking after ourselves, let alone looking after another adult human.
Yeah.
So both, yes, definitely did the best that we could. But looking back, we're like, whoa, like I wish we could redo that with the knowledge and wisdom and love that we have now.
Yeah. And I feel like with Tala, you guys did take it like so much slower. Just looking so from the outside slower. In even
oh,
like
we did.
You were just like, sweet, I'm just hanging my PJs. Like you literally gave yourself permission to just do that, which is beautiful.
I intentionally, consciously plan that out to have the whole fourth trimester to bond with Tala and to bond with our family. And we actually got really sick when she was a week old, which I don't mean to laugh. She didn't get sick, thank goodness. The power of breast milk, I'm guessing. Because we were all.
I remember. Remember you
ill.
Called me.
Yes, I called all my friends.
I was like, I'm coming.
Yes, that's right. And then I spoke to a nurse because I was worried Tala shouldn't be around us. And then I spoke to this doctor online and they were like, no, the more she's around you, the better. I was like, okay. Cancel my friends, it's all right.
Yeah.
But everyone brought me around food, it was so nice. But we took it really, really slow. And even when we were sick, we were just like laying in bed and bonding and cuddling. And like, that was so connecting for us.
So nice.
But my nervous system was so calm. Taj was around so much for it. Like Steve didn't have much work on. Like I just let go of my work for that moment. I did what I needed to do, but it was so
beautiful. There's no pressure.
Yes. So it was such a different experience then. So that was our lowest, but then it also turns into like, the family bond we have now through Tala was one of our highest.
Yeah, love that.
Do you have any more lows though before you go into highs?
Last year was difficult for us in our relationship. So I think me unpacking all of that, I say it all the time, but I feel like if you've got things that you feel like you need to deal with, my biggest advice would be like, if you haven't had kids yet, do it before you have kids.
Yes.
Because it's so hard and it does take time. And it's been a juggle with our relationship because Kurt's seen me and you know, it has really affected him too. Seeing me being so upset, so not being myself, needing more time away, needing him to step up more. And I think relationships are like that. There's times in relationships where one person needs to give 70%, the other one can only give 30, and then it flips, and then the next one can give, you know, 65, and the other one can give 45.
Sail out of the people in the 35. Back.
Yes. So I think, you know, it's a beautiful thing, and like we're at a place now where I feel like I'm like, Kurt's like, gosh, you've been so good lately. Like, I feel like I'm just like on everything because I'm getting back into the swing of myself.
Yes.
I feel like even with the kids and that, like they're always like, mom, and wanting me and I'm not snapping at it. I'm like, I feel like I'm just giving myself enough time and space throughout the day that even with the nighttime routine, I've been like, babe, go for a run, go down for a surf, go do this. I've got it. And I kind of do feel like in a way I'm like, he held that space so beautifully for me that I like want to return that and do that for him. And I know, you know, he's such, again, like Steve, such a fucking incredible dad.
Yeah.
And he needs to be pushed a little bit, but then he comes back and he's like, thank you.
That was so good. Cup is so full.
Yeah. But last year was a challenge and, you know, him trying to support me through that and not knowing how. And then sometimes me being reactive because it is still fresh and him being like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And me just turning around and be like, you don't even know. You know, like
and
you have those moments.
He hadn't lived through what you're going through.
He hadn't.
He can feel and see everything you're going
and
through.
It hurt him as much as it hurt me because he, A, loved these people too. B, was learning about all these things that I went through as a child that were making him feel very triggered. And there's just so many different aspects to it. So I feel like that was like it, there were so many beautiful times last year. Like we got married last year.
Yeah.
But so many times that was so difficult and hard on our relationship.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So what would you say the number one thing is that's helped you guys navigate through that?
Me working on my mental health.
Yeah.
Me and him being there to support me, him being there to encourage me, open communication. You know, the next day I'd be like, babe, I'm so sorry I snapped at you. This is how I'm feeling. I probably just need to go see my therapist, or I need to take a bit more space. I need to read a book about this or listen to a podcast. Like, and him just holding space for me and understanding and going like, you know. And then I feel like, I don't know, when it all happened, he almost held onto it until I kind of got into a better space, and then it's kind of reversed. Like now it's his time to process. He has been processing the last couple of months and he's doing the work, and I'm so proud of him. There's been so many incredible things that I've seen him do that he would not have ever done 5 years ago.
Kind of like he held it together for you while you needed, but then as soon as you were okay, it's like it all came up for him how he was feeling, and like, I'm feeling all this now.
And it was such a huge thing for him too. But yeah, I mean, when you're in that moment of everything feels like it's crumbling around you, it's really hard to know the right way to navigate through. Yes. And I think like, of course, there were times were really hard, but like I always say, communication is everything. And I feel like that's why we made it through with such grace, and holding space for each other, and, you know, validating each other's feelings. And
isn't that so important? And also, we've spoken about it before. I think we've touched on it in another episode. It's like, you don't have to go to your partner for everything.
Yes.
Sometimes you want to, and they're your best friend and your soulmate and like lover and everything, but it's a lot of pressure on them. Sometimes it's nicer and better and healthier to go to your girlfriend, go to a coach, a therapist, your journal, out in nature, scream in a pillow, like whatever your thing is that helps you.
Yep.
We can't expect our partners to be everything all the time.
No.
It's too much pressure.
As soon as I started seeing my therapist, I stopped putting so much pressure on him because he was my soundboard, you know.
And you still want to have fun in your relationship, have light energy, have sexual energy. And when it's all heavy, it kind of kills everything else.
It really does.
Yeah.
It's such a fine line. And yeah, I think especially because it was an ongoing thing, like there was new things happening every day, things we were doing, it was just so fucking dramatic of a year. So I think that there were certain things that happened that weren't like really significant that I just, I would go to you two. Yeah. Like go to you two, go to you four.
Yes.
Yeah. And so like, nice. Hey, you know, like there was a few of my close friends that I knew I could speak to in confidence that things wouldn't go around.
Yeah.
And yeah, they helped me through so much. Like Kelly and Maddie, like I was calling them all the time. And
I love that. Well, that's the lowest. Let's move on to like, I suppose, the highs of the relationships and how we've kind of moved through all of that, because it's nice to have some lighter energy in there too.
Yeah.
I suppose like for me and Steve over the year, it kind of goes back onto all the triggers and the hard times was just like getting help. We've had relationship coaches. We had one called Brian Reeves. He actually got very famous from a this went viral. I'm talking tens of millions of shares. It was a letter that he wrote. It's incredible. I'll try and find it and link it in the show notes. But anyways, we got recommended to him by another friend, and we saw him on and off for like 3 years straight, and we learned so much just about ourselves, about relationships in general, about how to work through different things. And even if there was a situation that we were struggling to navigate or understand and see each other, having that third person to like see both perspectives is so powerful.
Yeah.
And then when we stopped seeing him, because he was just so hard to book into, and he's in America too, so it was all Skype, we found another guy. He's on the Gold Coast. His name's Brad. You've seen him? Yeah, he's so incredible. And like we had a session with him last week, and I don't believe with therapy that you should wait till crisis. I think it should be something that's like acupuncture. It's like going to the gym. It's like eating healthy. You don't just do it once and go, I'm fixed, all good, I'm healthy, whatever. So yeah, we had a session last week and nothing was wrong. He's like, what should we talk about today? We're like, I don't know. But there's always something. And I was like, oh, actually this popped up last week. I'd like to just unpack that a little bit more. Like, what do you think about this? And we got to have this really cool conversation and just grow through something. I feel like it's really helped us level up as individuals and as a couple. And if one's growing and one's not, I feel like there's a high potential that you could grow apart from each other.
Yeah, true.
And we both value growth so much. So yeah, getting help and getting coaches and stuff has been such a beautiful thing.
And also I feel like before something's about to explode, they can diffuse it.
Yeah.
You know, it's 100%. A way of having a third person there to be like, oh, so like, you know, rather than it being like a massive blow up, it's a good way to just hold your relationship together, really.
And it teaches you how to hold nicer space, and it teaches you how to see the other person's perspective and not take things personal. Like you really learn so much from it. So that's definitely been a high for us. And something that I feel like I'm a little bit addicted to is just like learning and growing with him. I thrive off it, and I feel so connected with him and then so attracted to him, and it just like brings so much to our relationship.
Yeah.
So I just highly can't recommend it enough. Like I feel like people wait till crisis or they hear in therapy like, oh, what's wrong? But yeah. It's like I've got such a different mindset around it.
Yeah.
So,
oh, that's nice. Yeah. My highs are just honestly like when everyone's healthy, everyone's happy. When Kurt and I, Kurt and I are like in that playful mode together.
Yes.
It's like the little things. It's like the little ass grab in the kitchen.
Yes.
It's a little like pull you over and give you a kiss. The kids always like, ew.
Do they really?
Yeah. Like I saw that.
Oh my gosh, how funny.
But it's like when there's that connection, that chemistry, and you just want to like have your hands all over each other.
Yes.
And not only that, but just like, I feel like when you're both filling your cup up and you both feel like you're on track, and then you just like life is just so beautiful when it's like you're both happy and you're both happy together.
What's like that whole, one of my favorite sayings is like when your cup's empty or full, and when it's full, you're filling up your own cup. You got so much to overflow to each other.
Yeah.
And you really start to find all the good and like praise them more and appreciate them more. And it just brings you so much closer and like brings all that love back in there. Cause sometimes when you're caught up in life and parenting and just stresses of everything that's going on, you can kind of like, I know we've been through phases and we're very quick to pick up on it now.
Yeah.
It's like not to be just coexisting and looking after kids, you know?
Yeah.
You're still a couple, you're still intimate, you're still in love, and to always remember that and make sure you're prioritizing that time and that space and that energy together.
Yeah. And I mean, that goes on to our next topic, kind of like sex. We were talking about this the other day, and I said to Ashley, I was like, so what is the difference in a relationship if you don't have sex? It's the same as a friend.
You're literally friends, or like you're coexisting in a house.
Yeah.
Like a roommate, but you're co-parenting almost.
Well, that sexual chemistry is what the difference, the different factor is. That's literally 100%. It.
And especially if your love language is physical touch.
Yeah.
Like that's even more so, but it's the only thing that separates you guys from being friends, really.
100%. So I feel like too, sex has different seasons. So there's times that Kurt and I go through and we're just like, woohoo, feel like we're 18 again.
Yes.
And then there's seasons and times where, you know, it kind of dwindles off a little bit.
Yeah. And it's not, your sex drive isn't as high. And it depends on where you're at. Like if you're super, I know stress for sure is like a massive sex killer. Or just after you've had a baby, like I feel like you're just not as sexual. I remember with Taj, when Steve would try to be playful and sexual, even around my boobs, I was like, oh, they're feeding my child at the moment. Like I just don't feel like that's very sexual. And I'd had second degree tearing. So I just was so scared of the pain. Like I just was not into it. It took me like 5 months to even have sex with Steve after Taj.
Yeah.
But then I remember with Tyler, it was like 5 weeks. I'm like, do you think I'm healed? I'm ready.
I was going to say, I was opposite. Like I was so keen after having babies. But then I feel like when I've just been going like, so like again, keep going back to things, but when I go through low or different seasons in my life where I'm not feeling great, I don't feel sexy. I don't feel like showing up and being sexy. But yeah, I can't remember what I was going to say.
Yeah, just different season. And also like sometimes when Steve's really tired or stressed, or sometimes he's had really bad sleep issues, and just being understanding of each other as well, like dropping the expectations. And I'm sure Kurt's the same, but there's never any pressure from Steve either. Like if one's not feeling it, no. Kurt's pressure? Oh, Steve's
so pressures me. Oh my God.
Steve's so understanding.
I'll have sex with him in the morning and he's like, so tonight.
Steve's so understanding, and I'm really understanding of him too. Like if one's really tired or one's feeling stressed or we're going through something, like just as happy to sit on the couch and have a cuddle. But
I feel like it's a huge stress reliever for Kurt.
Yeah. Okay, anyone. Like once you're doing it, it's like, oh, thank God we did that.
So Kurt's normal, like usually it's kind of actually bad. We're kind of the opposite. So if we're going through a stressful time, he wants to have sex like 10 times a day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe twice a week.
Yeah,
maybe
for
twice
sure.
a week. Yeah.
Definitely.
When I'm stressed. But you know, he's definitely someone who always wants to have sex.
Yeah, I think most men are. Yeah. Although I've got some friends that are very, very horny. I've got two friends in particular that like, she won't even mind me saying, Shezzy is just like the horniest person I've ever met. And like, she'll literally like come to me and be like, oh, I've only had it four times this week. And I'm like, is that not enough for you? She's like, babe, I want it four times a day. I'm like, oh,
wow.
She loves, like, cannot get enough. She's always been like that.
I've gone through phases like that. I've gone through phases where we were like six times a week and I was like, yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
And then, you go through seasons where it's like, you know.
I'm up and down as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like frothing it and Steve can't keep up. And other times, like,
Kurt's always consistent. He's just always ready to go.
So funny. Oh, my gosh.
Actually, I just remembered there has been a period of time when I was pregnant with Miller.
Oh. interesting.
We like, it was so weird. Yeah.
Interesting.
Did and he was also, was it Miller or Lincoln? It was Miller. Yeah. He was also boxing a lot. So maybe the testosterone with that.
And just tired more?
He was weird about the baby being in my belly.
Yes, because it was
the first
Steve.
Time. So that was the only time. And like, I mean, I say it was less, but it was still probably like, I don't know, once, twice a week.
Yeah.
But for him, somebody who was like, give it to me every second of every day. That was definitely a time where I felt, and I wanted it more. I remember I was like super horny when I was pregnant. I was like, come on.
I was like, that was Taj. He was scared he was going to like poke the baby. He's like, can I like hit the baby? I was like, get on the bed. I'm ready.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, no, I forgot that. So I was funny. I was really, really horny and he was just like not feeling it.
Oh, it's so funny, isn't it? I love sex conversations with the girlfriends.
Me too.
So fun.
Should we talk about toys?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Do you guys use toys?
I have one that I love.
Yeah. But isn't it a fun way to spice up your
definitely,
life?
Different things.
Especially when you've been together for so long.
Yeah.
I feel like it made it so much more fun. And not only that, but like we're short on time these days. We're short on time these days. If you want to be able to do it twice a day or, you know,
twice
a day. Just before the kids wake up. If you're like, fuck, we've got 15 minutes. It's like, well, this old friend of mine. We can get it done. But isn't it true?
Oh my gosh, that is
isn't it true?
So
Kurt
funny,
was kind of funny about it at the start.
Was he?
He was like, why do you need that?
Oh, I took it back.
I can satisfy you. And I'm like, yes,
you can,
babe.
You don't need that, honey.
And we don't use it every time.
Yes.
But I'm like in those times where like I know we only have like this amount of time.
Yes.
It's like great.
So
we can
funny.
Still do it, and I'm not unsatisfied at the end.
No way.
No.
Oh, I love talking to Nat about this because her partner's like FIFO.
Yes.
So she just like, she's got this cleaner. We have the same cleaner, and sometimes she's like, oh, Liz saw my dildo on the bed.
I've had
again,
this happen
she put
a
it away.
Times.
And like Liz just never says anything. I'm like, that is so funny.
Oh, so
classic.
Good.
But yeah, it's I think it's fun even just going to like a sex store and just like looking around the different things they have out there.
Yeah.
But sometimes I get things and they're so shit.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's a waste of money. Like claims it's going to do this and feel like this. I'm like,
I've got a funny story for you.
Okay. Oh my God, I've got a funny story too.
Oh, yeah,
I think I told you last week, didn't I?
I was at work one day.
Yeah.
And Kurt and I were planning on christening the shop. So
I
in my
it.
Bag, I was like, I'm going to be under pressure.
Yeah.
So no one else, I think we're planning to do it when everyone left or whatever, had a vibrator in my bag. I put my bag down and it turned on. It was the one that's like the little lipstick with the button on the end. And my bag's going, zzz,
where at?
In front of all the staff members.
Oh, no.
But no one noticed. And I'm like talking. I'm like, oh, yeah, da da da. Like, comes like, sorry, it's going to go to the bathroom. We're out the back. I was blushing so bad.
Oh, my goodness.
Kurt was like, what the fuck was that? And I was like, pissing myself laughing. I was like, I'm not even going to talk about this right now.
That is
everyone was
so
still
funny.
But it literally was going off in my bag.
God, you got to laugh.
And you know
stories.
The sound. Kurt always, like, does the sound. He'll hear something and he looks at me and goes,
oh my God, that's so good. So we had a situation like literally only a couple of weeks ago. Tala's lunchtime nap is just like a great time to have sex because she sleeps for 2 hours. So we're like, Tala, you want to go watch something on TV? Or like, yeah, but mummy, daddy, just going to go and have a cuddle. Like we literally say that. It's like, yep, iPad, like whatever. Anyways, we lock our main bedroom door, but on our main bedroom door, we have a door that goes outside to the pool. We didn't lock that. And we've got these curtains so like neighbors can't see in, but it kind of blurs it out. Clothes are off. We're about to like do the things and Taj opens the sliding door and he does not know what sex is, but he knows something's up.
Something naughty's happening.
Steve honestly jumped so high off the ground. I'm on the bed. I'm like, and he goes, oh, he goes, oh my goodness. What are you guys doing? Oh, we were mortified. What did I say? I said, oh, I've got a bruise. And he was just checking my bruise. He goes, can I check it? I'm like, no. No, you can't check it, babe.
That was great thinking, actually. Like, well done,
I know,
babe. That
but
was
legit, I had a bruise like on my inner thigh. And
oh, you did?
And Steve, when he was down there, he was looking at this bruise going, what is this from?
Oh,
so it just like came
God.
To my head. And then like, we had to try and like figure out, we're both literally nude. Steve grabs a towel, wraps it around. And I'm just like, oh, that bruise was so small.
Oh, that is so
I was like, what
funny.
Happened to your iPad, babe? He's like, I just wanted to come and ask you something.
I love it. I was saying to Ashy, we've got like, so we're upstairs. So we've got like the leeway
love
of
that.
Hearing the dun, 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 dun,
you got
dun,
warning.
Come upstairs. Plus what we do, we've got a gate at the bottom for Regan. So you can
warning.
Hear the little cha-ching. And I'm like, get off me, get off me. But if we didn't have those two things, guaranteed it would have happened.
100%.
So many times they come running up the stairs and we're like, oh!
Yeah, 100%.
You guys, and sometimes they're like, why are you nude? I'm like, I was just getting changed. Plus, yeah. Sometimes I just sleep nude, so it's not probably too. Yeah, but mommy's having a nap.
It's so funny though, because Tash definitely knew something was up, but he obviously has no idea what we're doing.
I love his reaction, that, oh my goodness.
Yeah, because I always say, oh my goodness. He was like, oh my goodness, what are you guys doing? And God, me and Steve's face. Oh, I wish we'd like filmed that, just because it would be so funny.
I love it.
Oh, classic.
Oh, but it's so important. It's such an important back to the part topic of your relationship.
Yes.
And... oh my gosh, sorry, I'm still just picturing Tasha's face. Oh, you know whose face I'm picturing? Who? Steve's.
Oh, I know. Like,
he would
be
mortified.
He's mortified.
Oh my gosh.
Mortified. And just like the position. Oh yeah.
But wow. It is like, it's one of those things that brings you back to your playfulness.
It does.
And you know, buying the toys, doing the cute little lingerie, like all like, those little things make such a huge
spontaneous
difference.
Like sneaky moments, for sure. Yes. It does bring it back. Especially when you've been together a long time. Like, I feel like it is something through different seasons you have to be really conscious about. Like the honeymoon stage, you just like do it a million times a day and it's like so easy and natural. But when you add kids into it, stresses, both schedules, like it can be hard sometimes. Like 100%. Really prioritize that time.
Yeah.
It is like kids are running around knocking on your door.
Kurt gets annoyed, but okay, sometimes this is what I do. I try to actually like schedule it in.
Yes.
Say if I've got a busy week. So this is what I say to him. I said, actually, you got really offended yesterday. And I understand. I do. I should have worded it differently.
Okay.
Okay. So I knew that we were going to be announcing this. And yes. I was like, my time's going to be doing all this tonight from 7 to 8. So it was 7 my time.
Yes.
I'm going to be spending an hour writing back to comments, blah, 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 blah. And I look at Kurt and he's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. We had sex in the morning.
Oh,
okay?
Yes.
And he looks at me because he knows my period was coming today.
You're like, and one more go in.
Yeah. And I was like, all right, we can have a quickie tonight.
Yeah.
We can have a quickie. That's what we call it when we're like in, out, yes. Get it done, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Not like a longie.
Yes.
Anyway, he was like, I hate it when you say that. And aww. I was like, yeah, like, because I do say it. And yes. I was like, yeah, I said, I understand like that I shouldn't say it. But I said, I feel like sometimes if I don't tell you, then you will start doing it. And like, I don't want to stay up till 10 o'clock at night having sex.
I'm
when
tired.
I knew I had to get up today and get here early in the morning, drop the kids off to school, like all the bits and bobs.
I see where he's upset, but I see where you're coming from.
Yes. So I feel like if I don't tell him, like, we can have sex again. Because I feel like that's pretty giving twice in one day.
Yeah.
I was happy with that.
Yes.
I was like, we can do it if it's a quickie. And he's like, I hate it when you say that. He's like, I'd just rather it be like, and I understand that, but I'm like, sometimes it's something too. He'll try to act in at 9 o'clock at night when the TV's been turned off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, babe.
So tired.
I've set my alarm for 4:45. Yeah. And it's a hard thing to navigate through.
You don't want them feeling rejected either.
No. But also, like, sometimes you got to, like, and that's what I say to him. I say, if you want it to be longer, I was like, you've just got to, like, get to it. Kids are down, like, hut, hut.
Or schedule it in. I actually did a podcast episode because I've got another podcast with my business partner called The Conscious Living Parents.
Yeah.
And we interviewed a relationship, like, psychologist of, like, 40 years. Mm. And he said the chances are of both partnerships being both in the mood at the same time is like 0.01 chance. Like,
wow.
It is so low. He goes, when you throw kids into it and work and your busy lives, like, it's very unlikely you're both going to feel like at the same time. So when you schedule it in, you know you get that time together. You're both preparing for it. You're both getting excited for it. You can chat about it. Like, the foreplay during the day of, like, smacking on the bum or little kisses or, like, cheeky grabs or whatever. He was like, it is the number one thing that I think all relationships should be doing is scheduling sex.
There you go. So it's not that bad when I say, like, tonight, but then I probably,
I think the quickie, does he maybe feel like, oh, she wants to get it over and done with? Is that what he's thinking?
Well, because I said to him, I said, I'm going to be up late writing back to comments, so I won't be able to have time for an elaborate event.
Yeah.
But I will make some time to get the job done before my period.
Yeah, so maybe he's thinking it, and you're not thinking this, but maybe he's thinking it's like, oh, she needs to tick the box.
No, because I'm trying to satisfy him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah. Because I already did that morning, so I was like, I feel fine. Yeah. I'm usually fine for a couple of days. Like once.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine for a day or two.
I like quality over quantity too, because there's been seasons where, like, Steve's wanted it every single day, but I've said to him, like, I can keep doing this, but I much prefer, like, I feel like I want to get real sensitive again, like build up the foreplay and the excitement when it's every single day. It's not as
and
exciting.
And like the chemistry build.
Yeah. The excitement build up again.
Totally.
So like, as much as like every day sounds great in theory, I definitely prefer a couple of times a week and it's like really amazing. We take that time. We are really present and it is like, it's beautiful. I feel like it's better.
It's so much more meaningful.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I feel like Kurt wants that, but then he wants it every day.
Yes. That's a lot of pressure.
That's a lot of pressure.
Because I can do that a couple of times a week, but if I was there every day, I would be needing quickies because I've got shit to do.
And that's why I say, I go, well, if you really want it done, I can get the job done for you, but I can't bill you for stuff. I can't spend an hour there.
Yes. So true.
But you know what? Maybe it is something that we should do is we should schedule in like 3 days a week and go, okay, these 3 nights, yeah, these are our sexy time nights.
100%.
And then if we want to do it an extra one or two, just sneak an extra in there.
And that's exciting too. And those nights that you plan it, like maybe you'll make more effort with lingerie or
totally,
like buying a flavored lube. Have you tried flavored lube?
Yes, we have.
Delicious.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you'll make more effort because you know that's your nights for it.
And you can
cool.
even go like, you know, we've got a couple of those games as well. Be like, okay, so that night we're going to play a game.
Yes.
This night, let's do this, you know.
So cool.
Make it a bit more fun. I think I'm going to go home and do that. Yeah. I think I'll be happier because I will have it in my schedule.
Yeah,
and also I'll be more inclined to like, you know and like initiate.
Yeah. Put the effort in. Yeah, for
sure. Rather than being like, oh, I don't know, and then just watching TV or.
Steve's all about it. We haven't been very good at scheduling him, but he is all for it as well. I need to actually, I'm going to go home and talk about it too.
Yeah, I'm going
to
do that. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
There you go. I love this because like I'm learning things as I'm talking, sitting here talking. I'm
we can't wait to hear all of your feedback as well. Like whether you're comfortable posting on Instagram or in our private Facebook forum.
Mm-hmm.
We want to hear what you guys think and like your experiences or any more questions about it. It's such a cool topic that I feel like you do talk about with your girlfriends, but like once again,
very taboo.
So it's very taboo or like uncomfortable because of what society says is wrong or right or what's good or bad or dirty or this or that.
Sex
like,
is great. It's healthy. It's everyone, how you make a baby. Everyone has sex.
Everyone loves sex, like surely, right?
And everyone has it.
And it's a natural thing.
That's it.
It's pleasure. Why do you not want to talk about that and do that?
That's it.
But yeah, it is uncomfortable for some people for whatever reason, you know. Yep, I know I definitely was nowhere near as open-minded until I met Steve. Like some of the topics he would bring up, I was like, what do you mean you've done that or what? Huh?
Mm.
But like as I've spoken about it more and also my girlfriend Megsy, she's very open-minded and like talking to her, I'm just so comfortable around anything sexuality now that I'm like, I'm up for anything, whatever. Yep. Like it's all good. But I know some people are uncomfortable. So it's cool to be on this podcast and hopefully just bring light to it and have fun with it. You
and
know?
Also like you just because you're talking about sex doesn't mean you can't talk about it in a tasteful way. Like I feel like we've had fun talking about it and I've learned something new out of it. And it's been, you know, but you still don't have to be like, bloody shove your dildo up my ass. You know what I mean? Like you can still have tasteful conversations about it. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God. I can't imagine you saying okay. Oh my gosh. Definitely. That's so funny.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, where were we? Relationships.
All right. What was the next thing that we're
getting
talk
a bit
about?
Hot in here, is it?
I know.
Gotta go, guys. Alrighty, well, this has been a juicy, fun episode.
It has been fun.
But we thought we'd wrap it up because we always love to not only have fun with our conversations and go deep and share our experiences and being really vulnerable and open as we have been in this episode.
Open legs.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, guys. Can't help myself.
I wonder when Kurt and Steve listen to this, are they just going to be like, oh my God, these girls? Like, they're so open.
Kurt and I make sex jokes all the time, especially when the kids are around because they have no idea.
Like, to everyone knowing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I think Steve might be like, wow, you shed a lot.
Yeah, Kurt probably will too. But he talks about it all the time with our friends and that.
Oh,
he's very
cute.
Open.
Yeah.
Very open.
Steve's more private with that stuff. Yeah.
Well, sorry, Steve.
Nah, he won't be upset. So we thought we'd give a kind of a little list of things that we have found have really helped our relationships over the years and kind of bring that back, that spark and keep that connection because it is something I think you have to really conscious of, especially when you have been together a long time or you both are busy or you have children.
Yes.
Having children just throws a whole heap of spanners in the works.
For sure. Yeah.
So what would be your, I suppose.
Making quality time for each other.
Quality
time. I feel
time.
Like it's really, and it can be really difficult to do at times, but actually holding space for each other, holding time for each other and now for me, scheduling it in.
Scheduling
I'm
going to
do it. I'm doing it. Yeah.
I love that. For us, something that we've always done, you know, since we had Taj was make a conscious effort to have date nights.
Yeah.
It was a lot easier when my mum lived here though. And she's now up North Queensland, so we don't have her around. But every Saturday night we'd have a date night and it was just
amazing.
So nice. Like just take our work hats off, take our parent hat off and just be us. But because before you have children, it is just you two.
Yeah.
And it's hard to adjust to not be each other's number ones anymore. Your kids kind of do take
over.
Yeah. So we try.
Especially while they're little.
Yes, definitely. So we try to book in date nights still now. There's probably more once a month at the moment. And we're literally gone for an hour. It's not long. We go and have dinner. Like, even our babysitter's like, are you guys fucking kidding? You've been gone an hour. Like, I know, but that's, we just needed to have a conversation without being interrupted, have a nice meal together, go look at the beach, and then we're filled up.
Yeah.
You know, it is really nice. And we get home, the kids are going to bed anyway. We still get to read them their stories and give them a kiss goodnight or whatever. But that's all we need sometimes, just a date night and that that time to get out of the house and be together.
Yeah, makes such a difference. Yeah. Also another big thing, getting help if you need it.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. I think everyone should at least just go to one to just like see what it's like. Because until I went to one, I had no idea what to expect. And yeah, it was really great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think getting help is super important, whether it's a babysitter or family or friends or just like having assistance. They say it takes a village, and it really, really does.
Oh, sorry. I'm talking about getting help as in going and seeing like a
I was kind of confused what you were saying.
No, like going and seeing like a relationship coach or like a – yeah. So if you're going through a bit of a tough time.
Right.
But yes, that too. Get help.
Okay.
Accept the help. I will say that too. Yeah.
Get help, accept help. So get help as in like coaches or get help as in like a babysitter.
I was meaning as in coaches.
Yes.
So both. I'd never experienced it. And I was like, like, I don't know what this is about, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then I went and I was like, whoa, like this is actually really so great. Powerful. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
And then getting help with like babysitting for a date night if you've got work or whatever. If you have family around, you are so blessed. Like family is just like the best if you have that. I never took that for granted when mum was here, but now she's not here. I'm like, oh, like even Steve's mum still works full time and she's up in Brisbane. We have zero help. So we have to obviously pay for help. Mm. We have an amazing babysitter. She is just like the best thing ever. She's so, so beautiful. And it's so nice to have that extra support with our children. So when we do have work or we want to go on a date night, it is really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Playfulness.
Oh, love that.
That is something we talk about often. It's like,
it's so important.
Isn't it? Just having fun together, having banter, having jokes, flirting with each other. Like, you should still be flirting with your partner.
I know.
It's those little things like the cheeky bum grabs and like.
And having kids makes your life so much more structured and routined that it's hard. And it's serious. It's easier to get.
You're keeping little stuck humans in that alive.
Serious role. And yeah, it's so important to keep it playful and fun with one another.
Because you can be so stressed and focused on keeping these little humans alive and meeting all of their needs.
Even like, financial stress as a couple, you know.
So bringing that playfulness and that little flirtation back in is so, so important.
So important.
We already spoke about our other one that we had on the list was knowing when to go to them to make sure that like we're not expecting them to be everything at all times. So having your girlfriends, your journal, your therapist, your coach, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And how to get through hard times. Compromise and conversation.
Yep.
So important. Compromise is a big one.
Compromise, yeah. Kurt's dad's always said that. He's like, if I can give you one piece of relationship advice, it's compromise.
And when you think about it, when you come into an intimate relationship, you're literally like – you're combining two completely separate worlds. Mm-hmm. How you've grown up, who you are as humans, your beliefs, your values, your upbringings, your even cultures sometimes, like are totally different. And you have to blend that world together. Like it does take compromise.
Yeah.
It really does. Mm-hmm. And you have to, sometimes you're both not going to be happy, but you'll meet in the middle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think it's always about like I win or you're right or I want everything that I want and too bad what you feel. It's like meeting in the middle sometimes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
For sure.
Another one too is work-life balance integration. I think with us, because we both run businesses like kind of from home. I've got an office, he has an office as well. But it's not like separated. It very is integrated and balanced amongst each other.
Yeah.
But I think for us, I really love that. I really love that there's that understanding with each other's roles and with each other's responsibilities, but we blend it all together. And like sometimes he's, you know, really heavy into work and I'm more with the kids or vice versa, but there's that support and understanding of each other's lives and really like holding that for each other.
We had some big teething issues with that at the start, for sure. Like going from him working away 6 days a week to then, you know, integrating our life in so many different ways. But now we've really got our set roles and he does a lot of everything for Love Ellis Rose, which I love.
Yes.
And then I can focus more on like YouTube videos and editing and doing this content. Yeah.
And just showing up online and building that connection because that's really important with the online community.
Yeah. So, but I agree. It's such a balancing act though.
Yeah.
And it's something that I'm sure is always going to, you know, somebody like, I've had enough of the kids this week and I feel like I need more of this. And just again, compromise.
Communication.
Talking about it.
Conversations.
Yeah. That's it.
For sure. All right. We'll get into the last segment of the week, our opinion of the week.
Oh.
It's time for an opinion of the week.
Yep, this is a good one this week. Old music is better than new music. I listen back to the old music that we used to grow up to and I just love it.
But every generation song says this, right?
True, true.
I said this to my mom and she was like, yeah, but I think that about my old music.
But I feel like there was so much more like versatility and I think it was that really big era of like that like rap music and stuff.
R&B.
R&B and like even Eminem and that. Like I just love, like I used to love all that stuff. And there's just a big variety of music.
Yeah.
Big variety.
You so should have come to Juicy Festival.
I would have loved it.
Oh my gosh. It was just insane, like Neo and Ja Rule and Ashanti, like all the old school R&Bs that we just grew up with and just loved. It was so good.
So many good memories.
Oh, every song I could like relate back to memories of like my teenage years or whatever, or so songs good. That just made me feel not alone, or I don't know, I just love. I agree with you. New music these days, I just can't really get into as much.
You know what it is? As soon as the music changed more into like the clubbing music and more like techno-y and doof doof, I just don't, just not for me.
I'm the same as you, babe.
Yeah.
I feel you on that. Mine is more of like, yeah, it's definitely an opinion and it's a conversation I've had a lot on social media, and it's just like we all have 24 hours in the day, and it's about, I feel like sometimes people think that, you know, that person's lucky or they have it easier, or like, you know, I get comments all the time, well, you've got a cleaner once a week, so of course you have more time to fill your cup up. But I'm like, okay, well, everything's a choice. Mm-hmm. And I prioritize the things that I do because I know that makes me be the person I want to be. I've got a vision for who I want to be, and I need to show up to be her every single day, the mum, the wife, the friend, the partner. And I prioritize everything in my week is so scheduled because it's all important to me.
Yeah.
I could easily get sucked into just working so, so much and be burnt out, but I consciously choose to prioritize my own time.
That is so true.
My time with my friends, my health and fitness, my intimate time with Steve. Like, everything's important, so I have to schedule that in. Otherwise, it's like, it doesn't
happen. There's endless hours that you could work for.
Yes.
Really is.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever is important to you, you will find a way because it's a priority. And if not, you'll find a story or a reason to justify why you can't do it. I really believe that. And sometimes that's a hard truth for myself because sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't have time for that. Oh, let me say that differently. That's not important to me right now. And then I'm like,
so true.
Oh God, that hits me hard. It's a hard truth bomb that I'm like, it fucking is important. Okay, how am I going to make this work now? I'm not going to sit there and say, I don't have time for that. You do, Ash. You have time for it. What can you cut out, or what can you implement? What can you schedule or change, or like, you know what I mean? Just make it work.
Yeah.
So utilize your 24 hours. Create your own life. Stop making excuses. And make it happen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Louder for the people at the back.
Oh, that was a good episode.
It was.
I feel like we could have just spoken forever.
Ever. I feel like we can talk underwater though.
I know, honestly.
How good.
Oh, thank you guys so much for tuning into another episode, especially if you've made it this far.
Yeah. Thank you guys. Aww. We'll see you in our next episode.
See you in the next one. Bye. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We want to know, what did you guys get out of the episode? Come over to our GNG community on Instagram and have a chat with us. Or we also have an exclusive Facebook forum community where we can connect with like-minded people and can grow and glow together.
Please remember to share, review, and subscribe if you want to catch every new episode on Wednesday at 5 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. Your support is so appreciated to help us continue our passion to help you all grow and glow.
Plus, come find us while you're waiting for the next episode,
where we share our daily lives at Ashy Bynes and at Aussie Mum Vlogger on Instagram.
Don't forget,
you've got this.